Los Angeles, this is Bruce Dubon with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, professors, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by Rocky Chavez, Charles Moran, and Karen Sigmund. Our program tonight coming to our home base in California at the Westwood One Studios in Culver City, just a few stones' throw from the In-N-Out Burger. And our toll-free lines are now open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. Our email address is brucedumont@museum.tv. That's brucedumont@museum.tv. And if you'd like to tweet me a comment, it's at Dumo, at D-U-M-O. And for the next 2 hours, we'll spend a couple of minutes talking about the battles within the Democratic Party. But tonight's program is really pretty much about the future of the Republican Party, where it is right now, but more importantly, where does it go into the future? And we have three card-carrying Republicans with us in the great state of California. Rocky Chavez is here, Colonel Rocky Chavez. He is a candidate for the United States Senate. He wants to replace Barbara Boxer in the United States Senate. He's been involved in Sacramento politics for a number of years, and we'll hear him, and he's been on the program before. Sharon Sigmund is also here. She's with Rage Against the Media. Charles Moran is here. He is a well-known political consultant and the past chairman of the Log Cabin Republicans. Folks, thank you all for being with us. We cannot have any conversation about anything without talking about what Donald Trump has done. So let me start with you, Rocky, because you're hoping to be an elected Hispanic Republican to the United States Senate from California. So my question to you is, because the last time you were on this program, Donald Trump, I still think, was flirting with the idea of running. How has Donald Trump affected your ability to be an elected Hispanic Republican U.S. senator from California?
Donald Trump is killing my campaign. I'm going to be really clear with that. I'll say it again. Donald Trump is killing my campaign. His negative message to Latinos, his extremely poor comments to POWs and those who served in the military, and his treatment of women and the way he addresses that whole issue shows that he is not does not have the character fit to lead this great country.
Karen Sigmund, I read your Facebook. You are not a fan. You are not a fan.
I am not a fan.
So share with the audience some of the things that you have to say about Donald Trump, because I will tell you, we have a lot of people that are listening to this program tonight, and we should mention, by the way, tonight is not a video stream. We're not live on the video stream tonight. But share with the audience some of the things you feel about Donald Trump, because there's a lot of Donald Trump supporters we're going to hear from tonight.
Oh, don't I know it. You know, it's really it's such a shame, because on the surface of it, as you said, I run Rage Against the Media. And one of the first things he's done and continues to do
is rage against the media.
I should be all about Trump. He's doing a lot of things that I think need to be done as far as the media is concerned. That said, in almost every capacity, I think he's such a danger, not only in the areas that the future senator is talking about, but discourse. One of the things that we've complained that's happened under President Obama is discourse going down the toilet. There's that. One of the things that we've complained about President Obama is too much power being wielded out of the White House. Our Constitution was built on checks and balances, balance of power. States should have more rights. And one thing we conservatives, Tea Partiers, Republicans have always said during the course of President Obama's tenure and destructive tenure is that he's gone around everything put into the Constitution. Donald Trump will only make those things worse.
Charles Moran, you are a political consultant. The last time you were on this program, you were sort of singing the praises of Jeb Bush. So, first of all, let me ask you, what happened to Jeb Bush? And put him in context with this momentum that Donald Trump has.
Bruce, thanks for having me back on again.
Even with that first question.
Yeah. I'm still, again, somebody who thinks that Bush has the right operation and the right message and presents the right theme for the which we need to, again, carry to, you know, reach out to Latinos, reach out to women to be able to, you know, present that face of the Republican Party as being one of the 21st century with real alternatives to the failure of Barack Obama's 8 years, but the trend towards Trump is something that I'm still trying to wrap my head around. And as a professional politico who gets paid to do this and talking to donors, talking to strategists, we're really dealing with a world of unknowns here. And that's the biggest question. We can try to poll this. We can try to focus group this. At the end of the day, there is some kind of untapped energy that is flowing through this country that we can't quite get our fingers on the pulse of. And that's going to be the unknown.
Is there anyone at this table who believes that Donald Trump could be a ringer, or his campaign began as a conspiracy to really screw up everything the Republicans were trying to do to engage Hispanics? Rocky?
I wouldn't think he's a ringer. I just think he's an egomaniac. I would push back a little bit against Charles on this one issue as far as an historical perspective. We have a lot of serious issues in this country. In California, 30% are at poverty. There's with technology changes and people seeing the future of their jobs going in a world economy, with this whole issue of migration, not just in the United States, but in Europe and in Asia. So there's a lot of unsettling issues up there. And a charlatan who is a Pied Piper who sings like he has a solution will attract a lot of people. And
Karen, I think that's what you're saying. Do you think he's a ringer? That conversation between he and Bill Clinton, was it anything about this?
I can't let my mind go there.
Okay.
But I do think when people say he's not a political animal and therefore that's why he should be our next president, I think that's a ridiculous thing to say. I think he's very much a part of the Democrat elite, including the Clintons. He's donated 100-1 Democrats over Republicans. He's donated to Hillary's foundation, has not donated to a single conservative foundation. I think his heart has been far more in the Democrat camp than the Republican camp.
Charles, what about the possibility of a ringer? Is there anyone that really has hurt the Republican Party more with Hispanics than Donald Trump?
No, he's done the most damage.
And isn't that one of the concerns that Hillary Clinton would have, is that Jeb Bush might have been able to get the 40% that he allegedly needs?
Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz. I mean, for the first time, and this is what I love about the Republican Party in this election cycle, is we have a full panel of candidates who represent the true breadth and diversity of the conservative movement in America. Right.
People are getting no traction.
Are saying, oh, well, it's such a catastrophe having 17, 16 Republicans in the race. I said, this is a blessing. Look at all of the talent we have. When the Democrats put all their eggs into one basket, and now it's falling apart, we don't have problem. We've got a great bird.
You don't have a problem, but again, you've got some political nitroglycerin out there, and you don't know what that powder keg is going to mean. 1-800-723-8289 from coast to coast and border to border. We're talking about the future of the Republican Party. Are you a believer that Donald Trump could go all the way, not just to the nomination? Could he go to the White House? Yes or no? 1-800-723-8289. I'm live from Culver City tonight.
Excuse me, Chad. Here is a flash from the Associated Press, Dateline Dallas. Two priests who were with President Kennedy say he is dead of bullet wounds.
It was a moment that defined American history. But what really happened in Dallas that day? And does that tragedy lead back to Chicago? A new play, Assassination Theater, answers that question. Now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. For tickets, go to assassinationtheater.com.
The beauty of Amling's interior landscape is that we can come in, work with your budget, and create a fit that makes sense for your facility at that time. Our goal is to create foliage designs that not only look incredible the day we put them in, but you can go back 2 years later and it is still maintained and has grown as a perfect fit for that customer's environment.
Call Amlings now at 888-880-TREE. Bruce Dumont back from Culver City, 1-800-723-8289, taking the pulse of America tonight, really taking the pulse of the Republican Party as it relates to national politics. And I want to go a little bit more into this discussion. By the way, the Bloomberg Des Moines Register, which is the most respected newspaper in the state of Iowa, they came out with a new poll that had Donald Trump in first place with 23%, Ben Carson second with 18%, and then Scott Walker, Ted Cruz with 8%, Jeb Bush with 6%, Marco Rubio with 6%, Carly Fiorina 5%, Rand Paul with 4%, and then everybody else basically 2 or 3 or even less than that. And this is, to me, one of the most shocking aspects of this poll. Favorable versus unfavorable. Right now, 61% of Iowa Republicans who have identified themselves as caucus goers have a favorable opinion of Donald Trump, 35% an unfavorable opinion. And in May, those numbers were flipped. And the favorable rating of Ben Carson is 79%. So let me ask this of all of our guests. What's out there insofar as Iowa? What's out even in the national polls? Ben Carson is surprising people. Why is he surprising people, Karen?
Well, I think generally the mood in the country is against anybody who's ever touched politics in the slightest bit. So that's number one. Also, Ben Carson at the debate was smart, engaging, and more than any of the rest, very funny. And I think he's got tremendous appeal that way. I think he's, more than Donald Trump, very common sense answers, very real American kinds of answers, very empowering. Also, I would say more than Donald Trump. He's the one who makes me feel, and I'm not endorsing anybody, feel that we, that each one of us can do what we can to help make this country great again.
Rocky, what's your take on you cannot think of two individuals that are further apart in their style, maybe even in their substance.
You know, I actually lived in Iowa. My wife's from Iowa. And spent a lot of time there. And in Iowa and the caucuses, it's all retail politics. It's small talking to 4, 5, or 6 people. This week I attended a speaking seminar for the Republican caucus. And they have these standard methods of how you hold your hand, how you present, how you close out. And I was looking at it, and I challenged the guy, and I said, you know, what you're showing is what every elected person does, but Ben Carson and Trump don't do that in retail politics. They'll tell jokes, they'll tell stories, they'll roam off. They come across as somebody who is your neighbor.
Uncoached. Mm-hmm.
And that's what people like in Iowa. And so as I challenged the Republican caucus at our training this week, I said, don't fall back to all the consultants, no offense, Charles, what they've been telling us to be doing all the time. This is a changing environment, and you need to be able to talk to them as you were talking to your neighbor about, you know, is your grass dying or not?
Charles, what's the Carson mystique?
I would absolutely trust Dr. Carson to operate on my brain. I do not trust him to be president of the United States. Some of the comments that have come out of his mouth have been absolutely reprehensible. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to repeat them on the show.
You're absolutely right. I've forgotten about
those. Some of the things that he comes out of his mouth are just
jaw-dropping
mm-hmm. and ignorant and reckless, to say the least. They're not helpful. I think that's the way I described it.
Before we went on the air, you were telling a story, Charles, of some liberal Democratic friends of yours. And you shocked everyone in the studio with that revelation. And I'm wondering if you don't have to name names.
I'll tell the story
because we actually probably should tell people to pull over if they're on the highway. Because I don't want to cause an accident as you tell this story.
So I work in politics professionally. My day job is I do political and nonprofit fundraising consulting. So I work in this world. I've seen Rocky every other weekend here for the last couple of months. We're on the train. We're on the trail. We're all out together and we're all in this zone. And I bounce ideas off of people who are not necessarily connected because I want to. I am entrenched. I am seeing things.
You got to talk to real people.
I need to talk to real people. And I was having dinner on Monday night with two of my friends. I'm 34. Two of my friends who are gay, center left, well to do, educated. Own homes, so they're getting sacked by taxes right now. Just bought homes. Again, in their mid to late 30s. And they said to me, they're like, Charles, I don't know how to describe it. And again, these are center left gays in Los Angeles, educated, said if it was down, they said, like, I'm feeling the passion of my anger. And I'm I would support Trump over even voting for Hillary Clinton. And I just sat back at that, and I just I had to reconcile this because I said, okay, you are what, you know, Republicans like to call liberal elites, you know, academic elitists. You're rich. You have multiple homes. You have lots of money and education, and you're gay, so you should be a little center left to begin with. And you're telling me that you'd vote for Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton because there's something there. It's what, you know, the authenticity level that Rocky was just talking about, you know, being able to connect to people. There's the doubt in their minds about Hillary Clinton that she's just such a manufacturer. It's almost like a Manchurian candidate. She's just all things to all people. There is something there in Trump world that is getting people to get over any kind of rational choice that they'd make. I mean, if you think about it just rationally, you should not be voting for Donald Trump. But there is something going on out there that is getting people so juiced up, and the frustration, which Karen just mentioned about, you know, anybody who's touched politics professionally, get them out. It's this energy that I'm going to throw caution to the wind, that I don't agree with everything that Trump says, but damn, I'm going to support him.
Let's mention to the audience, you now can get back on the highway. You can continue under that, but you've pulled over. Watch when you get back in traffic. Karen, your reaction to this, and then we're going to take some
right.
calls.
Right. Well, and this is one of the – another shocking thing, but you can, you know, keep stay back on the highway. He doesn't – who is he attacking for the most part? He's attacking Republicans. This is not a guy who espouses, generally speaking, what Republicans espouse. So it doesn't surprise me all that much to find Democrats sick of Hillary, who's being shoved down their throats, even though she's a criminal – going for the guy who does go after the anger, but also who doesn't really seem, on the face of it, to be particularly a Republican.
But he is going at the part of the frustration is the frustration that Republicans have with House Republican leadership.
Yes.
They have the frustration that people talk about immigration, that we've been talking about immigration for 25, 30 years at the presidential level and the congressional right. level, at least 15 years.
Right.
And nothing gets done.
And the Affordable Care Act. And
yes.
The Affordable Care Act.
That's right.
Elect us, we'll repeal it. They didn't follow through with it.
The point is, that's what they're this is as much anti-John Boehner as it is anything else.
Oh, absolutely. But I would also say that normally, though, when people are frustrated with Washington, who do they look to next?
Governors.
And that's where Trump has just thrown a complete wrench in the works, as they normally
Scott have Walker operated. Scott Walker is just fallen off the face of the earth.
Yep, as Perry and Jindal and
Two of your favorites.
Yes,
and
yes.
I love the fact, you know, this is one of the things that I do love about Donald Trump being the racist. He's sucking up all the oxygen for Ted Cruz and Jindal and Huckabee and Santorum and some extent Walker. I like Walker. But, I mean, the rest of them, you know, if I could keep Trump and get rid of five, I totally would take that deal.
I love it. But what do you say, and then we are going to take it, what do you say about, you know, in the wake of the first debate – a lot in the media, including myself, said that we thought that John Kasich did very well.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you were looking for a new establishment candidate, Kasich probably has a stronger record than anybody.
Right.
But that's not showing up in any national poll yet. It's not showing up certly in the Iowa poll. John Kasich is at this moment is going nowhere.
Because moderates don't turn out. Get out there, and that's the biggest problem that you have in polls and you have in caucuses, is that moderates don't get enraged about things.
And the problem we don't ever have is we always talk about the emotions of politics, but we never talk about governance. You know, how do you actually get the streets built? In California, how do we make sure that we have water here so we can keep our agricultural industry going? How do we fix our schools? Things that Kasich has done, people aren't focusing on, because they're more focusing on, is that his hair or not his hair, and what was her email account?
Right.
We're not focusing on the right things, and I think I blame some of the media on that.
Is there a time, and then I promise we're going to go to calls. Who, Charles, is there anyone, is there any group of people, is it the Koch brothers, is there some group out there that can go to Jeb Bush and say to him, Jeb, you're not going to do it. You got to get out of this race. You got to turn your money back. You got to turn it over to somebody else, but you're not going to do it. Walker may be salvageable. Kasich may be salvageable, notwithstanding what we just heard. But you know what? If you are the voice of the establishment, you are a dead bang loser. Is there anybody that could say that he would listen to?
The voice of the establishment is all we've got left. Do you think that Ted Cruz or Bobby Jindal are going to be able to withstand the onslaught from the left? I would say that if we have any chances left, it is Jeb Bush or Scott Walker or some of these candidates.
But Bush is going up. Bush in Iowa
Bush can afford to.
Unfavorables.
Okay.
Where is he going to shine?
New Hampshire, South Carolina, you know, again, okay, who is the person who came out 4 years ago with Iowa is number one? Unfortunately, and with all due respect to my love for Iowa and everybody from it, Iowa is really not a good predictor anymore. And that's unfortunately the reality. And we've put all of this stock in Iowa and the caucuses and all this. It's not, I mean, most states don't even vote via caucus. It is an outdated method.
But Bush has to be
this.
A little bit stronger on his message.
Right.
And he's very clear why he's running. And he's made a couple of trip ups that he should not have made with a man of that experience.
Right. So the quick answer from you, Rocky, is there isn't any establishment voices that can go to Jeb and say, Jeb, you got to step aside. We need a stronger horse for the establishment. You don't think any.
We're not the Democratic Party. We don't anoint people.
All right, 1-800-723-8289 from coast to coast and border to border. There are calls on the line. I promise we will bring them into the conversation. And who knows, we could be bringing you into the conversation if you call us at 1-800-723-8289 from coast to coast and border to border. I'm Bruce Dumont, tonight from Culver City, California.
The beauty of Amling's interior landscape is that we can come in, work with your budget, and create a fit that makes sense for your facility at that time. Our goal is to create foliage designs that not only look incredible the day we put them in, but you can go back 2 years later and it is still maintained and has grown as a perfect fit for that customer's environment.
Call Amlings now at 888-880-TREE.
Excuse me, Chad. Here is a flash from the Associated Press, Dateline Dallas. Two priests who were with President Kennedy say he is dead of bullet wounds.
It was a moment that defined American history. But what really happened in Dallas that day? And does that tragedy lead back to Chicago? A new play, Assassination Theater, answers that question. Now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. For tickets, go to assassinationtheater.com. Every Sunday night from coast to coast, the voice of Bruce Dumont and the music of Tom Scott with you from coast to coast and border to border on America's Great Talk radio stations as well as Sirius and XM satellite radio. And again, tonight we are in Culver City, California doing the broadcast, so there is no live video stream of the show. However, there will be something that will be on our website a little bit later on. Who knows? I don't even know what we're running tonight on TV, but tune in and find out. Right now, we're going to let each of our guests spend about 10 seconds introducing themselves, a little bit about their background, and we're going to start with Rocky Chavez, who I will say wants to be the next United States Senator from the state of California.
That's exactly right. Born and raised in California, I'm factored out here in Los Angeles. I went off to join the Marine Corps for 28 years, rising to the rank of colonel. Married, 3 kids, 5 grandchildren. And as I talked to people earlier and they say, why are you running? I say it's time to take the Republican Party back where they should be. We were the party of the environment, Teddy Roosevelt. As far as immigration, that was all about Lincoln and the 14th Amendment. We're going to take the Republican Party back that reflects the values of the Republican Party, and it will be relevant in California, and I'll be the next U.S. Senator.
Karen Sigmund.
Not born in California, but mostly raised here. For about 20 years, I was a scientist working with the Navy, doing underwater acoustics. Then I was a teacher at various grade levels for about 10 years, something to which I'm returning. And right after September 11th of 2012, after the Benghazi massacre, I founded my activist organization, Rage Against the Media, that does what you would imagine an organization with that title would do.
And Charles Moran.
Born and raised in Los Angeles, California. Travel frequently across this great nation, but like to call Los Angeles home. I live in Hollywood. Worked in exclusively in Republican Party politics for the last 15 years. Have my master's degree in public policy. I can do smart people things. My day job is I do political and nonprofit fundraising consulting, and I've just wrapped up 4 years as chairman of California Log Cabin Republicans, which is the nation's oldest and largest organization of LGBT conservatives, Republicans, and their allies in the nation, and they're a group here in California.
All right, let's go to calls. Let's go to Robert, who's listening to us in Sacramento. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I'm supporting Trump because I was a little kid during World War II, and I'd seen the strength of the different generals, MacArthur, you know, all the generals in World War II.
Bradley.
And, but Trump has a strength, I think. He shows he has a strength. He is saying some things maybe on immigration that he should tone down. But I think he is strong enough to win the nomination.
Do you think, let me ask one follow-up, and then Rockies wants to comment as well. When he talks about an immigration policy that would deport illegal immigrants, do you think that's a policy that could be implemented, really?
Yes, I do. I think it could be implemented.
And do you have any idea how that would be implemented and how long it would take or how much it would cost?
That I'm not sure, but, you know, it's like building a wall. I mean, China has, a 13,000-mile wall, and we're talking about building a wall mm-hmm. for less than 2,000 miles. And just that, you know what I mean, is this can be done. And on the immigration thing, you just need to, he needs to get firm on that and probably just let, he needs to moderate that. He can't just deport everybody. He's going to have to say, look, you people have to. Okay. You have to register, and you have to, you know, you have to do it the legal way. But you're going to have to get on board with that.
Okay, so you're saying that he does have to moderate that position. Rocky Chavez, again, I'm sure you've answered a question or two about this. Your reaction to our caller and to Donald Trump.
Sure. Thanks a lot for calling in, and thanks for bringing up the issue of the military, because I think when you talk about generals, you're really talking about leadership. But having known many generals and having served 3 decades in the military, I can tell you, leadership is not calling people names. Leadership is not pitting people against each other. Leadership is about having a vision and how you can make everyone better. And those are not demonstrated by Mr. Trump. And as far as the issue of gathering people and moving them out, there are examples in history where that's been done. I believe the pharaohs tried to do that one time. I believe in Germany that was also attempted. Those sort of actions.
And it happened to Japanese Americans after
Japanese Americans
the attack on Pearl Harbor.
But not nearly to the
117,000
but
people.
Not nearly the millions that we're talking about we're talking about here, which would destroy society. So I mean, there are historical examples of that, and the cost of those were written in the Bible. I don't think we need to go there.
Okay, let's go to Rick. Go ahead. You're on the air, Rick. Calling from Chicago.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, actually, it's Nick, but
I'm sorry.
Doesn't matter. I was just thinking, okay, if Donald Trump demonizes Hispanics, this is like 1994 all over again, where Pete Wilson, the governor, he won the battle, but they lost the war. I mean, who realistically thinks that if Donald Trump is the nominee, that in November that any Hispanic would vote for him? I would say, just like how African Americans, 90% support the Democratic Party, 90% Hispanics are going to go to the Democratic Party for good.
All right, Rocky, I'm going to let you tackle this one as well, because I'm sure it's an equation that you've measured from the moment you decided you were going to run for the United States Senate.
Well, I actually agree with the speaker. I mean, if the Republican Party were to support a program like that, we'd just have to close up shop with the Latino community. Because there's and what really shocks me about this, because being a very strong Republican and will always be a Republican because of family values, how could we possibly support a program which would divide families and break them apart? To me, that makes no sense. And this whole issue about the baby, you know, tell me one more joyous event that happens in a family besides having a child born to the family. And to label that with a disparaging term just is not the character of the Republican Party. This man has no position of character or leadership to represent this country.
Charles.
It's a big concern because we do have 1994, and I've been saying this for years, and Rocky lives it, being in Sacramento. the National Republican Party is basically about 10 years behind where California is. If we don't learn from what happened, and Governor Wilson's a great guy, he was a great governor, but that set us back here in California. It's probably the most defining moment in the California Republican Party history.
And the caller was correct. Won the battle, yeah. But lost the war.
And unfortunately, the Republican Party nationally, I believe our party leadership understands that this is something where we must tread carefully. And, Donald Trump is, and I've described him before, he is an unpolite moderate Republican. You know, he supports gay marriage. He's pro-choice. Some people call them anchor babies. Other people call them illegal immigrants. Other people call them undocumented individuals. But language means something. Words mean things, mm-hmm. especially when you're dealing with respect and communities that are strongly culturally sensitive.
He argues, however, Karen, he argues that he says, I'm going to win the Latino vote. Well, obviously, he can say that. But the point is, aren't there some Latinos that agree with him? Because when you look at Prop 187, I mean, wasn't that supported by a majority of Hispanics? Because those who were here legally did not like the idea that people were coming in illegally. Rocky, is there some truth to that?
I wasn't here when 187, I was overseas. But I can tell you now in the Latino community, because I spent a lot of time traveling around the state talking to different groups. Mm-hmm. This whole deportation issue and the assignment of a negative term to a child being born is going to just taint the image. Not the fact that they don't understand, especially if you go to the Latino community in the Valley. You know, their bigger issue is water, 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 and, oh, by the way, I need a job. Right. And so it's huge. But when you talk to them and say, what do you think about Trump and immigration, they just go off right. That's an emotional hit. If the Republicans didn't have to deal with that sort of dialogue and can talk about infrastructure and good governance and water and jobs and reduced regulations, we can win the state back. But if we're having to talk about these crazy ideas from Trump, we will never get our voice heard. That's the problem with guys like Kasich and Bush.
Right.
Karen.
And exactly right. And it's as long as I've been paying attention to politics, I'd always heard that, you know, the Republican Party, there's a natural alignment with, you know, not to stereotype particularly, but I guess we are, with the Hispanic community being family values, Christian, good work ethic. And it seems to me that that's always been a demographic that with which there is a natural alignment.
But he's doing fairly well with born-again Christians. He's not doing as well as Ben Carson. But he has respectable numbers with born-again Christians, and that's in the wake when he was talking about communion a couple of weeks ago. I almost fell off. I thought that was the end of his stand.
Right.
When he talked about the wine and the little crackers. And he was doing it in a mocking way to talk about communion.
And the bottom line is he appeals to people's emotions one way or another.
And then when he said that the Bible was the most important book, do you think he's ever read it?
I got the impression no. And then I think he caught himself because he was talking about his little book, and then he tried to catch himself back. This guy says things that you wish you could say, stop, prove that. But he keeps on going.
Right.
Well, Jorge Ramos, he wanted to challenge him on that. Did he do it the right way, Karen? Raging against the media.
I actually thought Jorge was completely out of line when he interrupted the press conference. Much as I am wanting the media to get the truth, I don't think his seizing the floor in order to make his point after point after point. He was not being a journalist at that point.
Okay,
in time.
We're going to pause. 1-800-723-8029. Lots of callers on the line, but there's room for you. 1-800-723-8029. From Culver City, I'm Bruce Dumont.
This is Larry King at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. Tonight we've got a special guest for you to meet. What do you like to do as a kid?
I like to play baseball. I like to watch television.
What was your favorite sports team?
Sports team growing up was the St. Louis Cardinals.
What was your favorite vacation?
I think the vacation we went to New York City to the World's Fair. See Yankee Stadium.
Who was your childhood hero?
Childhood hero, probably Hopalong Cassidy.
What was your biggest fear growing up?
My biggest fear probably was that I would irritate my father.
What's the silliest thing you've ever done?
Irritated my father.
Give the gift of Larry King. Order your gift certificate now at museum.tv. That's museum.tv. Bruce Dumont back. Let's go right to calls. Let's go to Tim listening to us in Michigan. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Bruce, thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to you for almost 18 years off and on.
Terrific.
And I'm listening to your panel tonight, and I've been a lifelong Republican, but the point of the fact is that the Republicans will point the finger at the Democrats saying that allowing the illegals in is Democratic votes. And then what's been said, and it's not being talked about, is on the Republican side. They're not, they've had 15, 20, 25 years to deal with this. And they've got big business in their pocket, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They want all this illegal stuff because it drives the labor force wages down. And so you have both parties that are at fault. And to hear Donald Trump with his rhetoric, you hear Bush say something, you hear President Obama say something, you hear, you know, Bernie Sanders. It's all rhetoric. They have been they're all responsible for this. They're not willing to fix the issue. It's just another campaign issue again for 2016 to gin up the vote, and nothing ever gets done, period. They need to e-verify, need to start firing these employers.
Tim, Tim, you have said that you've been listening to this show for 18 years. So you've heard me say many of the things that you've just articulated. So let me ask this question, because you think that Trump is out there saying different things. Why isn't Trump coming down hard on E-Verify? Why is he coming up with an idea to build a wall when you could build a different type of a wall? And literally, you could start sending some people, including some Republicans, you could either be fining them or sending them to jail if they are serial violators of an E-Verify. Why isn't E-Verify the lay of the law of the land? Rocky, I'm going to ask Rocky. Rocky, what about that issue? Have I overstated what E-Verify could do to deal with this issue?
E-Verify could be a very important tool, but I think you need... There needs to be some reality brought in this, especially with Mexico. In the past 4 years, the immigration rate from Mexico to the United States has been a net zero. More people are going from the United States to Mexico. In Baja California, the unemployment rate is 5%. The unemployment rate in Los Angeles is almost 8%. Since NAFTA has gone through, in Baja California, they've gone from two or three trade tech universities there. Today, they have 31. For every dollar that's spent that's coming out of Mexico in industrialization, California's getting about 37 cents out of that. For every dollar that's coming from a product in China, we're getting a penny. So this whole deal about Mexico, we have a relationship with them with energy. We have a relationship with water. We have a relationship with trade. We have a historical relationship, the name of our cities, and we have a cultural relationship. So I appreciate somebody from, you know, the Midwest that may see this, but as far as California is concerned, Mexico is a partner to the economy of California.
Comment to you, Tim. Final word?
Well, it's good to hear their opinion on things being there in that area. But when it goes back to this, everything goes back to see, verify, and the both parties are just not willing to do what they need to do. And, you know, far as trade, yeah, NAFTA, you know, good or bad or indifferent about that back when that was passed. Ross Perot talked about that, saying you're going to hear a huge sucking sound going across the border. Well, that's what we've seen now. Now Ford Motor Company here in Michigan is going to send another one of their plants down to Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Trump got a big round of applause and big cheers in Flint, Michigan a couple of weeks ago as well.
I was going to bring up to you the question of somebody like Governor Perry, who is not on the Washington bandwagon of do-nothings, but as governor of Texas has not only been fighting this, but has made this a tremendous part of his platform and who has all kinds of detailed outlines
in
nowhere. His plan.
Deader than a doornail. And you and I, when you were on this program about a year ago, you thought he was the guy that could emerge.
I thought he could.
What?
I did too. And you know what? We were both wrong. Let's go to John, listening to us in Michigan also. Go ahead. You're on the air.
All right. I think the Trump phenomenon, you're totally missing the point. You've got to look at that, the last election. Oh, Obama's first election. He was elected by the Republicans because they didn't believe him. He was elected by the Democrats because they didn't believe him. He said he was going to cut the deficit. Oh, I know you can cut the deficit, or the deficit can go up and down depending on what the economy does for that particular year. But as far as the budget goes, it's in shambles. As far as the
I'm not following what you said about Obama. That why
are
you
saying? Well, this is really simple. This is really simple. When Obama ran the first time, and he was saying that he believed in traditional marriage,
yes,
the Democrats didn't believe him, or they wouldn't have voted for him. When he said he was a Christian, the Democrats didn't believe him, or they wouldn't have voted for him, because they don't bash him on Facebook along with the other Christians. When he said he was going to cut spending, they didn't believe him, so they voted for him. Now, for the Republicans, when he said he was going to cut the budget, they did not believe him. When he said that there was going to be a transparent government,
so
they did
do
not
you think,
believe him.
So Trump is successful because people are they're supporting him, even though they know
him.
They can't believe him?
They believe him. Here's the deal.
Oh, they
America
do
understands the bump that Trump is a businessman, and he's applying for a job. He's not applying for a position. And if a company says, hey, I've got a bunch of capital, I just want to get this started, go do it. He could do it. Now, if he applied for a job with a company that said, hey, we don't have a lot of capital, we've got to streamline.
Here's the one thing, by the way, that I would – by the way, you know, your point about a businessman is well stated. But you know what? If you're a businessman, before you announce a plan, you have costed it out. You know how to put that into production. And when you hear a plan that is based on deporting 11 million or whatever the figure you believe it to be, and the higher you believe it to be, the less likely it is to happen. Think about it. Just take a moment during this commercial break. What are the basic elements that would have to take place for the United States government to willingly deport 11 million people? Be specific, because Donald Trump is not specific. It is an idiotic idea. It's never going to happen. Congress would never agree to it. And you know what? The military wouldn't even enforce it. Back shortly from Culver City.
To Los Angeles, looking for the ideal place for you and your family to relax and enjoy yourselves? A place that combines a Four Diamond Hotel experience with a convenient location? It's the Hilton Los Angeles Universal City, just steps away from Universal Studios Hollywood, CityWalk, and NBC Studios. Just a short ride to the Hollywood Walk of Fame, TCL Chinese Theater, Warner Brothers, and other popular attractions. Enjoy spacious rooms offering breathtaking views and a world-class Las Vegas-style seafood and prime rib buffet every weekend and holidays. Share family fun and enjoy the oasis of the palm tree-lined pool and whirlpool. Relax in your own private poolside cabana with a cocktail or snack at your fingertips. Book your reservation today at HiltonUniversal.com or call 1-800-774-1500. The Hilton, Los Angeles, Universal City. At HiltonUniversal.com, they let you be the star in Hollywood.
The beauty of Amlinks Interior Landscape is that we can come in, work with your budget, and create a fit that makes sense for your facility at that time. Our goal is to create foliage designs that not only look incredible the day we put them in, but you can go back 2 years later and it is still maintained and has grown. Is a perfect fit for that customer's environment.
Call Amlinks now at 888-880-TREE.
Everyone loves vacationing in Florida. So why not experience it as it was meant to be? Where turquoise Gulf waters meet tranquil island beaches. Feel the powder soft sand between your toes. Revel in a glorious island sunset. Shop the boutiques of a seaside village. Ride horseback along tranquil waters. This is Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. real, authentic Florida, where you can discover an intimate downtown and sip cappuccino at a sidewalk cafe, catch fresh fish for dinner, even tour a working winery. Just minutes from all the rest Florida has to offer. Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Plan your visit online at BradentonGulfIslands.com. That's BradentonGulfIslands.com.
Excuse me, Chet. Here is a flash from the Associated Press, Dateline Dallas. Two priests who were with President Kennedy say he is dead of bullet wounds.
It was a moment that defined American history. But what really happened in Dallas that day? And does that tragedy lead back to Chicago? A new play, Assassination Theater, answers that question. Now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. For tickets, go to assassinationtheater.com. Live from Los Angeles, this is hour number two of Beyond the Beltway. Tonight featuring commentary by Rocky Chavez, Karen Sigmund, and Charles Moran. We're coming to you from Culver City, the Westwood One Studios in beautiful downtown Culver City. And our phone lines open toll-free at 1-800-723-8289. 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email me a comment, it's brucedumont@museum.tv. In hour number one, we've talked a lot about Donald Trump. We'll talk a little bit more, but I want to talk about the rest of this field. We've talked about a variety of candidates, and I've talked about really the most recent poll that came out today, the Bloomberg Des Moines Register poll in Iowa, which is, again, great news for Donald Trump and really good news for Ben Carson. They're at 23 and 18%. Everyone else is in single digits. And since the last debate, the name that was also talked a great deal about was Carly Fiorina. Everyone around this table knows Carly Fiorina because she ran for the United States Senate. Rocky, I'm going to have you weigh in first. What do the people around the country need to know about Rocky or about Carly Fiorina? Because Donald Trump has described her as a failed business leader who ran a lousy campaign for the U.S. Senate.
Well, first of all, she's quite an accomplished woman, starting off basically at the bottom, unlike Mr. Trump, and worked her way to the top. Well, you just have to meet Carly, and you can feel the energy and the passion and the drive where she wants to go. She had a very clear vision when she was running for U.S. Senate. It was my belief that if she would not have been fighting cancer early on in the campaign, she would have given her a longer time to get her message out, and she would have been the U.S. Senator. Carly Fiorina has high values, hard work, and she's somebody everybody needs to take a second look at.
Karen. Mm-hmm.
I saw her when she was running for Senate here in California. It was an interview with Dennis Prager, and I walked away absolutely stunned at her intelligence, her optimism, the extent to which conservative values, the good, deep conservative values, small government, empowering individuals, pro-business, all those things that we value, that just ran in her veins. And I saw her at the Reagan Library not long ago where she was speaking about foreign policy, and she is stellar. This is not a woman who would say, build a wall, I'll build a wall. This is a woman who understands global politics, who understands markets, who understands technology and the interplay among all of these things, and just her intelligence and optimism are palpable.
Charles, I want to change the question a little bit for you. I want you to talk about Carly Fiorina. But for the audience around the country, put her race against Meg Whitman, who is running for governor, two very powerful women running for the two top offices at the same time. What was the political dynamic between those two when they were running with each other?
I think part of what we saw in 2010 is actually a bit of what we see today, and I absolutely echo everything that Rocky and Karen have stated, and I want to just add – the one thing I want to add to it is she is the most articulate candidate running for president of the United States of any party for any candidate that we have. She is the most articulate person, and we saw that demonstrated in 2010 when she ran for United States Senate. She part of the reason why, and if you look at the results, Meg Whitman – taking away money, Meg Whitman lost by 15 points. Carly lost by 10 points. So she did 5 points better. 33% better amongst voters, you know. So this wasn't just a party affiliation thing. There was something there that motivated a lot of people who voted for Jerry Brown, but they voted for for Carly Fiorina for
Senate. I said a couple of weeks ago on the program that after the debate and after an appearance on Fox News a couple of weeks later with Chris Wallace, that I had always thought that Carly Fiorina, even though she was running for president, that in her mind she was running so that she would be the vice presidential candidate. And I now believe that she could be a strong presidential candidate based on what I've heard articulating, seconding some things that Karen just said. And I want to go back to a question I asked in the first hour. The powers that be, the establishment money that's out there, and it's out there with a variety of candidates, could someone go to, again, to Jeb Bush? He's the one that's got all the money, and he's got he's not exciting anybody except his funding base. Could she become the establishment favorite? Because she would bring business acumen, they would know that she's articulate, and that she would be the woman, especially in light of the fact, or not the fact, but a possibility, that the woman on the Democratic side may get knocked off.
Right.
Karen.
I think the attraction is there, and it's sort of nice to imagine that the establishment might see it that way. I don't think any establishment is going to want to throw all their weight and money behind someone who has literally never won an elected office.
And who was kicked out of a boardroom.
It just is not an auspicious start.
Let's go to calls. Let's go to Patrick in Fort Wayne, Indiana, listening to us on WoWo. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. I think that Donald Trump's appeal right now is like the song Blinded by the Light. You get past the title, and the words are just a jumble, and they don't make any sense. And Scott Walker is the one that should be leading because he's done in Wisconsin everything that America wants. He's defeated the Democrats four times, and but his straight talk about his accomplishments is not as flashy as what Donald Trump says, and I do think and hope that later on in the campaign, people will see that Donald Trump is all flash and no reality, but the American people, as much as they've voted for and put Obama in office, they don't seem to be logical. It's like that in North Carolina, Rush Limbaugh said that a candidate named Deez Nuts is running. And it's just a thin veil of saying Deez Nuts. And the Secretary of State must not know much about the Constitution either, because she let this 15-year-old kid from Wisconsin, who's running under the name of Deez Nuts, on the ballot.
Yeah.
And he got he's got 9% of the vote.
Well,
and,
I guess the question that you're sort of saying is that the voters are not smart enough to separate the real from the unreal. And I want to go back to the fact, and this is one of the big things that you're talking about, Karen. And you are most furious because you're a conservative and you can't believe that fellow conservatives are buying the conservatism that Donald Trump is touting.
That's for sure. Not only are they buying it, but if I don't buy it, all of a sudden I'm called a liberal, which is just the most bizarre twist of reality that I could ever imagine.
I would never describe Karen as a liberal. Anybody who follows her on Facebook would never make that mistake ever.
It's been boggling my mind.
But also someone who's the head of Rage Against the Media, as we said in the answer to your first question, Donald Trump should be your poster boy.
Right, but I think the caller's exactly right, that he's all flash, he's no substance, and he's turned this primary season into a game show. We don't have 17 candidates. We have 17 contestants, of whom he is by far the best, because that's what he does. And he does make it much more difficult for a Scott Walker or anybody with a good record to be seen and heard.
1-800-723-8229. Callers on the line. We're going to talk more about this and also about Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. Remember, you heard it here 3 weeks ago. Joe Biden is going to run for president of the United States. Back shortly.
Excuse me, Chet. Here is a flash from the Associated Press, Dateline Dallas. Two priests who were with President Kennedy say he is dead of bullet wounds.
It was a moment that defined American history. But what really happened in Dallas that day? And does that tragedy lead back to Chicago? A new play, Assassination Theater, answers that question. Now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. For tickets, go to assassinationtheater.com.
The beauty of Amling's interior landscape is that we can come in, work with your budget, and create a fit that makes sense for your facility at that time. Our goal is to create foliage designs that not only look incredible the day we put them in, but you can go back 2 years later and it is still maintained and has grown as a perfect fit for that customer's environment.
Call Amlings now at 888-880-TREE. Bruce Dumont back in Culver City, 1-800-723-8029. Back to calls in just a moment. But I want to switch gears just briefly because we got a lot of calls about Donald Trump and about the future of the Republican Party, which is the primary focus of the discussion. But when we're talking about primary focus, let's have a little primary focus on the Democratic Party. I said in the last segment, what if Hillary Clinton should not end up as the nominee? And I've also said that Joe Biden, according to what I have been told, is definitely running. He's looked at everything that's out there. Rocky, as a colonel in the United States Marine Corps, I would assume that top secret things may have crossed your plate from time to time.
I have a top secret clearance with the SBI, and anyway, yes.
All right. What should the people know that they may not know from someone who has a top secret clearance? What do we need to know about the Hillary email controversy?
When you're in the industry, especially at the State Department, every one of the embassies are going to be required to send reports. I mentioned daily reports, not hourly reports, depending on the situation, back to D.C. And the writing of those reports requires source documents. And at that point, when they leave the embassies, they're going to be classified. So if somebody says we're not receiving anything classified, I wondered how that could possibly happen. There is a great AP story that came out on the 25th of August that basically said that State Department leadership had taken a very relaxed position on classifying information, which speaks to the whole issue of the role she played as a secretary, because she is the top officer responsible for the character and responsibility of classified information. So when you have the top person not even using what they normally, when you produce a document, you have to send it through what's called a SIPR net, which basically means a security net. It's not something you would go get on Netflix to download a movie. It's a separate system that you would send classified information. If she was not, and she wasn't on this. So it's, to me, it doesn't make any sense how you could run that agency without having your embassies sending you classified information on a closed SIPR net directly to her. There's just no way.
Based on what you know and based on what you've read in the paper and your interpretation based on your top secret, has she committed a felony and should she be indicted?
Yes, because everybody who comes in before you deal with classification, you're required to take a test, and they'll tell you about how you treat classified, and they'll go through the different levels: confidential, secret, top secret, special compartmentalized information. And you're required to sign off on that and pretty much sign your life away that you will not disclose any of this information to anybody, and it had to be controlled and you're responsible for it. That's why that young PFC in the Army who sent all the stuff off to WikiLeaks, he's in jail. And I can't tell you how many times in my Marine Corps career, because I was in for a period of time in nuclear weapons, every time that we dealt with classified information and cookies and everything, we were in a closed room, a closed system, very important. And if you messed up anything, your career was over.
Political question now. With that detailed explanation, everything that you've just stated, I would assume that either the president and vice president know, or they should have been briefed on it at some point. Do you believe that the Biden boomlet is about what the FBI either knows now or will soon know, and are they fearful
that this will lead to some indictment of Hillary Clinton?
If anybody's doing their job and looking at the movement of information, there's no way that they could say that they're dealing with sensitive information and she did not violate the laws. There's just no possible way. And so, and the secondary issue that I had, and my wife and I were joking around, because if she had her own system, she had an email account. And on that email account, it would have what you're going to be. Because when I had mine, it was rocky.chavez@usmc.mil. It was a military account. And so you had separate account numbers that would go in the classified area. If she had it going off to clinton.gmail, whatever the heck she was doing, I mean, you're thinking somebody had to say, what account is this that we're sending this information to her on? And so when you watch her words, she says, I never see anything classified. And then she changed it. I never seen anything marked classified, meaning no. That means people were sending information and they weren't going through the protocols of marking it and identifying that it was classified. Because the classification comes from the source document that produces the report. And you cannot be doing things at her level that is not dealing with classified information. There's informants, there's economic reports, there's all these different things that are coming to make these reports that she should have been reading on a daily basis.
The New York Times this past week interviewed a variety of Democrats all over the country, including Ed Rendell, the former governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, that basically said that they've handled this atrociously. And my question to you, Karen, is with Democrats now publicly stating that the issue of trustworthiness has become a real issue, and that although the average voter at the moment may not be sophisticated in all the intricacies that Rocky has just expressed, it's more than just a drip, drip, drip now. The drip, drip, drip is coming real fast.
Right.
Do you believe that that's the basis of the Biden boomlet?
Absolutely. It's getting to a point where this can no longer be ignored. If even the AP is reporting on it. And while MSNBC, I believe, and CNN are sort of trying to cover for her, well, it wasn't marked secret or whatever, there comes a point when they just cannot do that anymore. And as you had expressed a desire for Republican donors to tell Bush it's time to get out and turn to Kasich, I think that's actually happening in the Democrat Party, where they're trying to segue away from Hillary and to Biden.
Charles? Isn't he a stronger candidate than she is at the moment?
Oh, absolutely. This has been the strategy that actually some of our super PACs in the Republican Party have been planning for the number of years. There's a group called America Rising. It's a super PAC that has been doing nothing except collecting as much information using FOIA and other tools available to them to do the research, to go out and to do the digging deep, going through the Clinton Foundation, the archives, what's being released from the libraries, going through all this and basically creating that drip, drip, drip narrative. Because to boil down from, you know, this heady big strategy, the way Republicans win is we don't have to convince voters to vote for a Bush or for a Republican. All they have to do is stop trusting Hillary Clinton. Because if they get to the point where they're just, you know, I kind of like Hillary, and I'm not so sure about this Republican, but gosh, I just keep hearing all this stuff about Hillary. I just can't vote for her, so I'll vote for the other guy.
My fear is that when you talk about classified in messages, my wife and I are talking about it coming up. You know, there's probably less than 0.1% that deal with classified information. Mm-hmm. So to them, they think an email is something that's coming across their iPhone. And they're going to say, why not? You know, I have a password I get in my Netflix and do my mail. There's a sophistication to understand when you're dealing with national security, when you're dealing with people who are out there who are informants, giving information, putting their lives on the line in these reports, and that's not classified coming out of the State Department, that is just wrong in so many ways.
So she's either uninformed or cavalier.
She was the leader on the top.
Yeah,
right. And when we talk about it, leadership comes from the top. And if she doesn't value classification and material, then why would anybody else?
Let's go to Mike listening to us in Alberta, California. Go ahead. You're on Beyond the Beltway.
Yes. Well, first I want to greet Bruce and Rocky and friends down there in Culver City. I want to, as an ex-California Democrat, I'm thinking that the rise of Carly, the rise of Ben Carson, and the rise of Trump, all in varying ways, are kind of indicators that the people are getting tired of mainstream media's, I guess I'll use that word, PC, controlled strictures or thought controls built into all their presentations. And when they hear someone speaking outside of those, people get excited. And it doesn't mean they're going to stick with Trump, because I don't think I would. But and I've become more conservative, really, than most Republicans here in California. But it's what I believe is that what I've come to see is that the party I so proudly joined so long ago of JFK has morphed into something that I've kind of called the racist white liberal cabal. Mm. And it's because they run all these cities with these giant black inner city reservations in them, where rotten schools, fatherless families, high rape, through the roof, homicide, drugs, drug gangs, community hopelessness, gigantic unemployment. There's no Republican or conservative that's had a voice in those cities for 50, 60 years.
Right.
And so I am excited that, I mean, I kind of hope, like everybody seems to hope, that the thing kind of goes a little bit off of Trump.
Well, I think everybody would like to do that. I want to ask Charles a question. Charles, do you think there's a possibility? I mean, as I understand it, Trump is now sort of Trump now believes that he might be able to do it. And I understand that he's adding a lot of professional politicians to assist him, or staffers. Is he in danger of maybe adding too many people who are pros, that they may temper his rhetoric and he will go down in polls?
I doubt it. I think Donald's going to be the same person he always is. Again, he's the master of retail, and you're never going to control that. But, I mean, there's a functional part of being elected and getting the nomination. He's employing people in the early states where he needs to, because you need people on the ground. So, you know, again, it's half and half. Not really sure how far this train's going to go.
Back shortly from Culver City, 1-800-723-8289, from coast to coast and border to border, every Sunday night for 35 years.
The beauty of Amling's interior landscape is that we can come in, work with your budget, and create a fit that makes sense for your facility at that time. Our goal is to create foliage designs that not only look incredible the day we put them in, but you can go back 2 years later and it is still maintained and has grown as a perfect fit for that customer's environment.
Call Amlings now at 888-880-TREE.
Excuse me, Chet. Here is a flash from the Associated Press, Dateline Dallas. Two priests who were with President Kennedy say he is dead of bullet wounds.
It was a moment that defined American history. But what really happened in Dallas that day? And does that tragedy lead back to Chicago? A new play, Assassination Theater, answers that question. Now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. For tickets, go to assassinationtheater.com.
Bruce Dumont back in Culver City. To those driving on America's highways and byways, nice to have you with us this evening on America's great talk radio stations, as well as Sirius and XM satellite radio. And Rick is driving on Frank Borman Expressway in Indiana, and he joins us tonight coast to coast. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not in the Borman now. I'm on 88.
Oh, my God. You probably made it home and you've had dinner already. You've been waiting a long time.
That's right. But I'll make this short.
Okay.
But Obama won on, he won with, back at the first term, he won with the millennials. Now those millennials are 30 to 35 years old. They have children, they have families, they have a job, and they're paying taxes. Those millennials saw this hope and change that Obama put out there as a real thing, because they were tired of the politicians, and they were tired of special interests controlling the politicians. Donald Trump brings that to everybody now. It shows that I don't have special interests I'm doing it with my own money, and that's why it's resonating to the people. It's still a form of hope and change. Now, Bruce, you know this very much. Illinois elected the governor by the name of Bruce Rauner,
mm-hmm.
who ran on his own money and said, I'm not going to be tied to special interest groups, but unfortunately, he can't get a budget done because the special interest groups, namely the unions, control the Democrats in the United States, in Illinois,
right.
control the budget, which control the budget. So we go back to the same thing. People are tired of politicians being tied to some special interest that gives them money and gets promises back.
Let's let Charles respond, because Charles, you're in political fundraising. That's one of the things you do in addition to a media advisory.
Yeah, this is one of the big things that I'm hearing again from donors is that Donald Trump does not have a finance department, which is unheard of, because that's the first thing you do is start raising money when you're running for office. A lot of donors out there are one of the appeals that Donald Trump has is, you know, donors are usually used to candidates coming to them on bended knee, asking for not only their advice, but their money. And donors are used to being treated like this. And Donald Trump basically can walk into these rooms with donors and say, I have more money than you. I'm more of a successful businessman than you are. You know, please vote for me, but I don't need to kowtow to you under any circumstances. So have a great day. There is a very appealing sense of that amongst, you know, again, grassroots people, with the people who are frustrated and the people who are so angry about the lack of inaction and what they consider special interest on both sides, you know, stalling progress in politics and public policy. You know, everybody assumes like, oh, it's special interest. On the left, we demonize the unions. On the right, they demonize, you know, big business. At the end of the day, it's a fight. And Donald Trump provides some people an excuse or an outlet to say, well, they're not going to be beholden to that very thing that we consider being the biggest stopgap in any kind of progress in politics.
Rick, one other point. You talked about the millennials, 7.5 years ago that propelled Barack Obama. Those millennials for the last 8 years, many of them have been watching The Apprentice. The Apprentice was an immensely successful television show. It wasn't just barely in the top 10. And the demographics of that show were terrific. So a lot of those millennials were tuning in every week. And I've said this a number of times. I think one of the things that people like about the appeal of Donald Trump is every week he'd be sitting there and he'd have, you know, 9 or 10 people in front of him. He'd be holding them accountable. What did you do? You did a good job. You stay. You're fired. I mean, the point was he would not let anybody get away with anything, even when they were in the Celebrity Apprentice. And I think that's what people would like a president Trump to do.
I am a millennial. I'm 34, turning 35 next month. So I'm right at the cusp of that.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. One of the things that, again, I'm hearing from my generation and people in my world, and earlier in the show, I talked about my two friends who would consider voting for Trump over Hillary. They're in the same boat. Again, you know, they voted for Obama the first time. They were engaged on that technology. They were seeing that thing. But, now everybody's like, oh, it's online. It's all digital. The fact of the matter is people want the authenticity. Those voters who voted for Obama the first time and maybe even aged in it the second time around, they're looking for that level of authenticity, and you just can't get that.
Don't they want show business too?
Well, but they respond to this different input. You know, they'll go to Instagram to look at food versus just going to the Yelp review. Yeah, there's even more nuances now in digital strategy than there used to be, and they're looking for that level of authenticity, and they're certainly not finding it in Hillary Clinton, period, end of statement. Mm. And they're looking for it. You can't just throw out the buzzwords like, oh, I'm going to have an email campaign, or, oh, I'm going to tweet. It's not enough to do that these days. You've got to dial down. That's what millennials are looking for, that level of authenticity, and they're not finding it.
What I find interesting
about that old technology thing, millennials, is that at some time, you got to sit back and think about it. You can be a great athlete. You can be a great marathon runner. But it doesn't mean you can play football.
Mm-hmm.
And so he may be a great little showman and do his little thing. But you know what? When you get down to running government, it's block and tackling, do the basics and doing it. And his skinny little butt ain't going to be able to do that.
But people want simplicity, Rocky. I mean, there are people listening to this show. And again, they're going to scream back at the radio. They're going to say, you know what? Bruce Dumont's coming. You know, he's gone soft. because he doesn't like the deportation. The reason I don't like the deportation idea, it won't work. I have said that I don't think the reform program that a lot of the moderates for would work as well.
But if you want simplicity and flash, California went through that. Was it too long ago? We elected a governor who was a movie star who's back doing grade B movies again. And we had a terrible time in governance in California. We took ourselves from 10% of the debt was our general fund. We took it up to about 200% of the budget. So block and tackling counts. Governance counts. And I think as people get older, they understand you need to have somebody who knows how the trains work.
Right.
And this is what I'm scared about, is that we're going to have Arnold Schwarzenegger all over again. LA Times poll had him a couple weeks out when Arnold Schwarzenegger against Cruz Bustamante. LA Times poll had Cruz up by, 4 or 5 points, and Arnold won in a landslide. I mean, candidates like Arnold, candidates like Jesse Ventura, candidates like Donald Trump bring out voters in ways we cannot poll,
right,
ways that we cannot predict. And
so
this
what
is
you're
why,
saying,
this is what scares me.
He's real.
Is that, well, not he's real, it's real. The phenomenon is real. The anger is real. And the ability, we're going to lose all the Hispanics.
And there's a tradition
there may
of it.
Be, but it right. but the, well, there's demonstrated evidence. Yeah, we're going to lose the Hispanic
the way you
voters,
beat him. The way you beat him is another charismatic leader to stand up with a very positive message, not picking his or her words, but with passion, speak it strong and say, this is where we're going. Get on board. We're going that way. You're all going to be there.
Give me a name.
The only one I think that has any of the energy that goes, Carly Farina.
Carly, yeah. Right.
But you know what? I think Kasich, Carly, or something like that would work out good. But I'm hoping these people, fire their consultants, go out and take a walk on the beach and say, you know what? If I want this, I better start working and change your tone and take the state back. Otherwise, this guy's going to walk away with this.
All right, let's go to Bill in Knoxville, Tennessee. Go ahead. You're on the air, Bill.
Enjoying the discussion.
Thank you.
Sunday night.
Great.
I'm out walking the dog.
Great.
A quick comment. Listen to your discussion with Karen and Rocky a minute ago talking about Trump. I think he was referred to as a game show host. I don't know
Karen.
Who I'm going to vote for.
That's Karen.
Put that up front. I'm still deciding the primaries. Hasn't come to Tennessee yet. But I think there's a frustration or a exacerbation with the inside the Beltway political class of the establishment of the party that is driving Trump. I think if you look at the two leaders in Congress, lack of pushback, I think that's what's driving Trump. I'd like your comments on that. Thank you very much.
Well, I agree with that. I said absolutely. That this is a race against Boehner and McConnell.
Yes, absolutely. It is a pushback against the inside the Beltway people, but it also is, as we had just said, his authenticity. It is that he makes everything look like it has a very simple answer. The reality is, and I always thought conservatives recognized that we don't deal with simple answers. The world does not lend itself to simple answers. There is no black and white. Everything winds up being some kind of compromise, like it or not. And Donald Trump
and
makes everything.
And the voters don't like it.
The voters don't, but that is the reality. And Obama has made it look like there are simple answers. And if people don't like it, he will use his pen and phone. And Donald Trump seems to me like exactly the kind of person who would use his pen and phone. And all we can do is hope that he would hope, because there's no indication that he would, use it for the right things.
Let's go to Tim in Wilton, Connecticut. Nice to hear from Connecticut tonight.
Hi.
Hi.
About 20 years ago, I was a registered Republican voter, and I continue to think of myself as a moderate Republican. But since then, I have voted as an independent. And despite having a 1040 tax bill close to six figures, I believe in government assistance, with the understanding that government programs need to be constantly reviewed for their effectiveness. Now, I do abhor the wasteful spending of tax dollars, but I do think these programs are necessary. I'm also a white male, but I do not feel threatened by the color of someone's skin. I also believe in a woman's right to choose.
Who speaks for you, Tim? Who in this field speaks for you? Who are you most likely to vote for? You've described yourself as a real model.
That is my problem. My problem is, are we ever going to see a resurrection of a moderate Republican candidate again? Because all I see are people that are on the right side of the spectrum.
I would define, although he does not agree with all of the issues that you've just articulated, I would describe that the closest thing to a moderate, and this is the kiss of death, what I'm about to say, the closest thing to a moderate in this race is John Kasich.
I agree.
And look where he is in the polls, notwithstanding the fact that all the media, including myself, thought that he did a very good job in the first debate from Cleveland. Thanks for your call, 1-800-723-8289. One more segment coming up from Culver City. I'm Bruce Dumont.
This is Larry King at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. Tonight we've got a special guest for you to meet. What do you like to do as a kid?
I like to play baseball. I like to watch television.
What was your favorite sports team?
Sports team growing up was the St. Louis Cardinals.
What was your favorite vacation?
I think the vacation we went to New York City to the World's Fair. See Yankee Stadium.
Who was your childhood hero?
Childhood hero, probably Hopalong Cassidy.
What was your biggest fear growing up?
The biggest fear probably was that I would irritate my father.
What's the silliest thing you've ever done?
Irritated my father.
Give the gift of Larry King. Order your gift certificate now at museum.tv. That's museum.tv.
Bruce Dumont back in Culver City. During the break, Charles, you were sharing with us the intricacies of super PACs, what they can do with money. We were talking about Rick Perry, who was having a difficult time paying his staff, but he has a rather healthy about $17 million in a PAC, but his campaign appears to be going nowhere. So what happens to that $17 million, and how much ability does that fund have to go elsewhere?
One of the the results of the Citizens United decision is that we have these things called super PACs, and it's money that can be raised in unlimited amounts from an unlimited or limited amount of people. This is what candidates traditionally rely upon, you know, given national races are so expensive. The campaigns have to pay because they cannot coordinate with super PACs. The campaigns have to pay for staff and logistics and ground operational work. But at the same time, you know, all the TV ads and the radio ads supporting a candidate can be done by a super PAC. The problem is if you don't have a strong campaign, a strong super PAC really doesn't do anything. You can't run a national campaign on TV and radio. You've got to have those boots on the ground.
So if it's going nowhere, what happens?
What happens, we're probably going to see this with Perry. Perry is running out of money. He stopped paying his staff in critical states like South Carolina. Half of his staff is quit in Iowa. With these super PACs, he's probably either going to have to – the super PAC entity will probably either return the money or the candidate – or the super PAC leadership and coordination with their donors will choose another candidate or issue to focus their money on, which is probably the preferable thing. But again, it's that money has to stay independent. It cannot go to support those candidates.
By the way, the caller from Connecticut, I forgot to mention, Rocky, you would take his support. He can move to California and support you because you believe in many of the positions that he believes in.
Yeah, pretty much all of them is one I didn't. But I joke around with people and they say, well, how are you going to win in the state of California with only 28% Republican? The gentleman that we called in earlier, we call them Rocky voters. And so there's a lot of them out there in declined estates. And I get a lot of time when I'm out in the community, people come across and say, you know, I'm a Democrat and I'll be voting for you. So they're Rocky voters because people are looking for solutions. It doesn't matter if you see what happens with the Democrats on their side supporting the socialists or you look at the Republicans on our side supporting Trump. There's these big bubbles out there that people are looking for solutions, looking for something different.
You said at the beginning of the program that you thought that Donald Trump was really killing your campaign. Is there anything you can do to blunt that? I mean, if you become the most outspoken, critic of Donald Trump, would that help you in any way?
I did say that earlier on, but really it's not about me. It's about the Republican Party. I think what we talked about in the second segment, when Donald Trump would kill the Latinos from the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And if you take out the Latinos, which in California they said all the kids, 5 years and under, 54% are Latino in California, this place will never be, ever again, a place where a Republican can go. Mm-hmm. His sort of message is just so wrong and off target.
Let's go to Northern California. Monterey is the place, and Mark is listening to us. Go ahead, Mark. You're on the air.
Hey, Bruce, thanks very much. Hey, weren't you stationed at Fort Ord once?
I was.
Yeah, I was driving through your old stomping grounds a moment ago. I was on North-South Road,
yes,
right above the Bayonet and Black Horse golf courses, looking at the Monterey Bay, and what a sight.
Yes, it was one of the one thing about Fort Ord, I only remember running uphill. I never remember running downhill, but we would always get back, but it was always uphill. But go ahead. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what, the thing with Republican leadership, and the reason why I think so many of the base Republicans are attracted to Donald Trump, is the attitude they have towards the marble mouth McConnell and the weepy John Boehner is this. It's the old Molly Sedgwick character from Are You Being Served? They are as weak as water. Republican leadership is as weak as water. And when the Republicans were given the majority in the House and the Senate, it was the Republican voters saying, okay, the American voters said, you guys have the majority. You said you were going to stop Obama and a lot of the egregious things he's doing. And what are they doing to stop him? They do nothing to stop him, Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think a lot of the appeal of Donald Trump is the fact that he is a plain-speaking guy, and that resonates with people, and they don't feel like they're getting a lot of yada yada from him.
No,
like they do from Republican leadership.
No, I think that is a very good point. We appreciate your call. Let's go to Edward, listening to us in Chicago on WCGO. Go ahead, Edward.
Yeah, I'll try and make this as quickly as possible here. I'm a Latino that is going to be voting for Mr. Kasich, and I'm really hoping that he does well because he's the best. If you put a resume against his resume against everybody else, he beats everybody, hands down.
All right, listen, thank you very much for your call. We're going to try to sneak a couple more in. Let's go to Rick, listening to us in Austin, Texas on KLBJ. Go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love the show, and I never miss.
Thank you.
I would love to see a Trump-Ben Carson ticket. I think the two of them would be kind of yin-yang. I think they both have the same type of attitude about the issues, but they come at it at completely opposite directions and come pretty close to the same conclusion. And I think they would be a really good match together.
What do you think of that ticket, Charles?
Yin and yang, I mean, both of them are just say ridiculous and immature things. I mean, I don't...
Well, they would get along with each other.
Well,
I can say something more ridiculous than you can.
Well, and that's the future of America. Yeah, that's just that's a non-starter.
Anyway, that is the voice of the people, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. That's what we offer. Our three guests in the studio in Culver City this evening have been Colonel Rocky Chavez. He is running for the Republican race. He's running as a Republican for the United States Senate. He wants to replace Barbara Boxer. Rocky, good luck in your campaign, and always good to have you on the show. 28 years in the United States Marine Corps, and again, a veteran of Sacramento politics as well. I guess I shouldn't say veteran politician. That's not a good thing. I retract those words.
Thank you.
Karen Sigelman also joins us. Rage Against the Media is the place, and Charles Moran, he is a well-known political consultant in the great state of California, past president of the Log Cabin Republicans. This program is a Gen B production produced in association with WCGO in Chicago. Our thanks to Anderson Cowan and Lindsay Floyd and Kurt Hemming. And also back in Chicago, our thanks to the ever-popular Colin Bobbitt and Chris Wick for their assistance in the production of this program. Until next week, when I'll be back in Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont. Good night from Culver City, California.
Headed to Los Angeles? Looking for the ideal place for you and your family to relax and enjoy yourselves? A place that combines a Four Diamond Hotel experience with a convenient location? It's the Hilton Los Angeles Universal City, just steps away from Universal Studios Hollywood, City Walk, and NBC Studios. Just a short ride to the Hollywood Walk of Fame, TCL Chinese Theater, Warner Brothers, and other popular attractions. Enjoy spacious rooms offering breathtaking views and a world-class Las Vegas-style seafood and prime rib buffet every weekend and holidays. Share family fun and enjoy the oasis of the palm tree-lined pool and whirlpool. Relax in your own private poolside cabana with a cocktail or snack at your fingertips. Book your reservation today at HiltonUniversal.com or call 1-800-774-1500. The Hilton, Los Angeles, Universal City at HiltonUniversal.com. They let you be the star in Hollywood.
The beauty of Amlinks Interior Landscape is that we can come in, work with your budget, and create a fit that makes sense for your facility at that time. Our goal is to create foliage designs that not only look incredible the day we put them in, but you can go back 2 years later and it is still maintained and has grown as a perfect fit for that customer's environment.
Call Amlinks now at 888-880-TREE.
Everyone loves vacationing in Florida. So why not experience it as it was meant to be? Where turquoise Gulf waters meet tranquil island beaches. Feel the powder-soft sand between your toes. Revel in a glorious island sunset. Shop the boutiques of a seaside village. Ride horseback along tranquil waters. This is Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Real, authentic Florida, where you can discover an intimate downtown and sip cappuccino at a sidewalk cafe. Catch fresh fish for dinner. Even tour a working winery. Just minutes from all the rest Florida has to offer. Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Plan your visit online at BradentonGulfIslands.com. That's BradentonGulfIslands.com.
Excuse me, Chet. Here is a flash from the Associated Press, Dateline Dallas. Two priests who were with President Kennedy say he is dead of bullet wounds.
It was a moment that defined American history. But what really happened in Dallas that day? And does that tragedy lead back to Chicago? A new play, Assassination Theater, answers that question. Now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. For tickets, go to assassinationtheater.com.